Hello and welcome to another edition of At the Table with Gail. I'm Peter Fleming and I do the introduction of our resident cook, Gail Hall. Hello, Gail.
Hello, hello. How are you, Peter?
Well, I'm pretty good actually, thank you.
Oh, that's good, that's good. We're ready for another day of making delicious food.
Are we? And I can just quickly mention that you've gone back a bit historically to the beginning of July and you've brought in your green pea and feta dip. And I shall have a bash at that at lunchtime.
A nice with crackers. I hope you've got some crackers ready.
Maybe.
But anyway, I did make it, and because I had a meeting last night, I thought, no, I'm not going to make cakes. I'm going to do a couple of nice dips and have them with savoury biscuits. So that's what I did. But today we're starting off with spinach soup, and I'm going to make, you know, September the last month for soup because we're moving on to the better weather. And I think we can find something else. And then we're moving on to meaty mushroom bourguignon. I think that's how you pronounce
bourguignon,
it.
Bourguignon.
Yes, it looks really lovely. And I am a mushroom lover. And that's a lovely mushroom dish. And then we're going to move on to vegan vanilla cupcakes. And these look lovely too as well. So quite surprisingly, they've got a lot of lovely ingredients in them, even though they are vegan, and they look delicious. And then we're moving on to pumpkin and golden syrup pie. So something different. Are you a fan of pumpkin pie?
No. I don't hesitate at all. I'm not keen on things like pumpkin or kumara.
Oh, that's right. I knew it was kumara. But anyway, having said that, I'm not depending on what the pumpkin pie is whether, you know, I like it or not. But that's what we've got for today. So we're going to move on and start with our spinach soup. And we've got one large onion, 1 tablespoon of butter, 1/2 teaspoon of freshly grated nutmeg, if available. But I think, you know, nutmegs usually are. 2 large potatoes, 3 cups of vegetable stock. Or if you haven't got vegetable stock, what we do is use the stock powder and 3 cups of water. That's 1 teaspoon to a cup of water. 250 grams of spinach, 1/2 cup of cream, 1/2 cup of milk, and salt and pepper. Now, just to let you know that if you don't overcook this soup, you can actually, it keeps its beautiful, bright, clean green colour. So, you know, just remember that when you're making it. So chop the onion finely and add to the melted butter in a fairly large pot. Add the nutmeg, cover and cook gently for 5 to 10 minutes without browning. Scrub the potato and cut into cubes. Add to the pot with the stock or your stock powder and water, whichever you choose. Cover and bring to the boil. Then simmer for about 15 minutes or until the potatoes are tender. Add the well-washed, roughly chopped spinach and simmer for 3 or 4 minutes longer until the spinach is tender but still got that lovely bright green colour. Now, this is a pureed soup, so we're pureeing everything in the food processor or your blender or, you know, your stick blender I'm talking about, which is fabulous because you not have to wash another item. So you just do it straight into the pot. So basically do that and then pour it back. Well, if you're doing the blender, you're not pouring it back into the pot, are you? You're just going to leave it there. And whisk in the cream and milk, adding more milk if you want it thinner. But I quite like it when it's, you know, just got that lovely consistency. Taste and adjust the seasoning if necessary, adding extra salt and freshly ground pepper and nutmeg. Now, reheat briefly just before serving and when you put it into the plate with a swirl of that lovely cream or something through it, looks really lovely. And serve with croutons or Melba toast. Sounds lovely.
That does sound good.
Now, yep. I have got a little note, I think, there, Peter, to say that you could use silver beet.
Isn't it the same thing?
Well, no, not really. They are quite different. When you see them in the garden, they're quite different, silver beet and spinach. Spinach has got a completely different flavour, really, to silver beet, slightly. And but anyway, it's just that the flavour is sort of like milder and the colour's not so bright.
Of the spinach?
Of the silver beet.
Yeah, oh, okay. We tend to, we buy the plastic bags of spinach, baby spinach.
Yes, and lovely.
It's become a very much a staple with us.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I don't grow spinach so much, but I certainly have a good crop of silver beet. So I always sort of think same thing, almost, you know. You'll notice with the spinach that the stalks are really thin, whereas with your beet and with your silver beet, you've got those big, thick, white stalks.
You've got to slice.
You've really got to slice it. Yeah. Mm, take the leaves off.
I picked up here on 3 cups of veggie stock.
Mm.
I found a recipe the night I made a meat pie. I'm afraid it wasn't one of yours. It was a chicken pie. And the interesting thing about it was they said use chicken breasts and poach them for 10, 15 minutes in some water.
Right.
With the chicken stock cube.
I'm right.
Just poach them and then take them out and let them cool and cut them up to put them into the pie.
Mm.
But you use that you've made your own stock then, you see. There's a stock cube in it.
Yes.
But I thought that's a pretty obvious sort of idea to do. And, you know, it did make a nice sauce. And I did make the sauce in the old-fashioned room way of adding flour.
Oh, did you? Oh, okay.
But
okay.
It worked.
So what else was in this chicken pie?
Leek.
Oh, you like leek?
Leek.
We've done chicken and leek pie.
Yeah, I think we have. Yeah, this is just one I came across. And I even used ready-made rough puff pastry.
So. Oh, right.
But it was okay. But it was the sauce that came out well, and it was very simple otherwise. You know?
Oh, very good. Very good. Oh, well. It's good to hear about those sort of things.
Yeah, I thought that was if you're making anything with chicken and you're going to make some kind of gravy or stock, do that first and then cook the chicken.
Right. Okay. Right. Very good. Well, so we're going now to move on to meaty mushroom bourguignon, is that right?
Bourguignon.
So basically, this looks lovely because it's meaty, and the meaty is mushroom, of course. So we've got 30 grams of butter, 1 tablespoon of olive oil, now 500 grams of mixed mushrooms. Now, you can use what you like. You could use portobellos, shiitake, but 500 grams anyway. And I'd probably just be buying a 500 gram pack because you can buy them in the packs.
You don't get a lot of choice, really, do you? I mean, in the supermarkets, you've got the brown ones and the white ones.
That's right. Exactly. That's probably it.
Other ones in packets, dried, maybe.
That's right. But anyway, I love mushrooms anyway, so whatever they are, you need 500 grams worth. 8 shallots peeled, halved lengthways, 2 large carrots peeled and cut into pieces, 2 garlic cloves finely chopped, 1 tablespoon of tomato paste, 2 tablespoons of plain flour, 1 teaspoon of smoked paprika, 1 cup of dry red wine, and 2 teaspoons of Vegemite or Marmite. This intrigued me because I thought, oh, this is interesting. I wonder what that's going to taste like with the Vegemite or Marmite in it. And it's one of the reasons why I actually chose this recipe, apart from the fact that it was mushrooms. When I saw that, I thought, that'll be an interesting taste. So 1 cup of boiling water, 1 tablespoon of fresh thyme leaves, and, of course, mashed potatoes and steamed green beans to serve. So what we're doing is heating the butter and oil in a large, heavy-based saucepan on medium-high. Brown the mushrooms in 2 batches for about 3 minutes each until golden, and then remove from the pan. Add the shallots and carrots to the same pan. Cook, stirring for 5 minutes or until the shallots are golden. Stir in garlic and cook for 1 minute until fragrant, and that's, you can smell the garlic. Add the tomato paste, cook, stirring for 1 minute. Stir in the flour and paprika to coat ingredients. Gradually add the wine. Don't take a sip out of it before you do. Stirring to remove any lumps. Dissolve the Vegemite or Marmite in boiling water and add to the pan with mushrooms and thyme. Now reduce heat to low. Simmer for 25 minutes, stirring often, until the sauce thickens. I can just see it bubbling beautifully rich in the pan. Season, Serve the bouillon with mashed and steamed beans, as I said before, and scatter over any herbs. And it looks a little bit of an illustration, but they do look lovely and sort of thick, don't they?
Yeah. And I think, as I say, although it's called meaty mushroom, well, you think, where's the meat?
Yeah, but exactly.
I think mushrooms are fabulous for vegetarian
lovely
dishes.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And they can be, we've had a few mushroom recipes just recently.
Yes.
And I noticed that they're sort of, when you cook them, they're still al dente. So they are nice and firm and they don't go to mush, not really. Well, I don't think they do. Not in our cooking, Peter.
I don't know how long you'd have to cook them to mush them down.
I think so, because you always get that bite. It's really good.
They always retain the sort of a bit of texture, don't they?
Exactly. And so it'll be interesting to see. I'm just depending on what I'm doing over the next week or so. Yeah, I think that'll be quite interesting to have that for a meal myself.
Yeah, I'd like to have a go at that. It's interesting. I go back to childhood, which I often do when I get to my age. And, I mean, mushrooms are something, if we were out walking across the fields, we came across field mushrooms. Particularly for Sunday morning breakfast, Friday. But you didn't buy them in the shops. They weren't available, not in the UK, not back in the Dark Ages.
Oh, okay. Well, you wore armour.
When I was a lad. And so it's just incredible how cheap and so easy to get and so great to use.
Fabulous. I mean, we enjoyed actually picking them off the paddocks when we were milking cows back in the day. And basically it was lovely to just go out and pick these mushrooms. It was real fun looking for them, you know.
And the big field mushrooms.
Oh, beautiful.
Well, they're like tomatoes. Don't taste like tomatoes anymore.
No. Exactly. So that's our first half, Peter.
That's our first half. Now, as you know, I always like to pick a piece of music that suits whatever you've come up.
No, and I haven't heard anything
this morning. We've been rushing around a bit. Well, the first word I saw this week when I sat down to sort some music out was onion. So I thought, onion. Oh, right. Well, it's the old onion song, The World Is Just a Great Big Onion. But I searched around a bit more, and this is even better.
Oh.
Now, you probably won't realise, know this, but back in about the 1800, when Napoleon was at war.
What is he coming up with, listeners?
He was roaming around, and they came up. According to legend, this particular, it's a march that I'm going to, it's a marching song I'm going to play you. So
right.
Totally, totally different.
So no singing?
Yes, there is singing.
Oh.
Mm. So, according to legend, it originated among the Old Guard Grenadiers of Napoleon's Imperial Guard.
Oh.
And before the Battle of Marengo, Napoleon found some grenadiers rubbing an onion on their bread.
Oh.
Very good. Très bon, he said. There is nothing better than an onion for marching on the road to glory. As he would say, of course, you know, or words to that effect. So, not only did he say that, somebody then picked up an earlier marching song. The melody comes from Étienne Nicolas Méhul's overture to La Chasse de Jeune Henri. You'll probably be familiar with that.
Congratulations.
With Étienne Nicolas Méhul's overture to La Chasse de Jeune Henri, which he wrote in 1797. It proved to be a suitable tune to put some words to about going into battle on an onion. And I'm going to play you the march, Gail.
Oh.
And I'd like you to join in on the chorus.
Right. Now, the chorus. I haven't heard the word mushroom yet.
No, it's onions.
Oh,
it's
okay.
The onion song. Oh. This is the onion march.
Oh, because it has got I think it's got an onion in this recipe. Shallots.
This is based on the onion in the soup.
Sorry, I perhaps didn't
explain that really well.
Oh, right.
So the word onion was the basis of it.
Oh, right. Well, that's a very interesting story.
Little tale there. Yes. So it's a great little marching. It's only a couple of minutes long.
Right.
And the chorus goes, "O par camarade, o par camarade, o par, o par, o par, o par camarade, o par camarade, o par, o par, o par." Can you manage that? That's in step, comrades, in step, comrades.
Oh, is it?
And the first verse, which I don't expect you to see, translated.
Yeah.
You're not going to believe this. I love the onion fried in oil. I love the onion when it's good. I love the onion fried in oil. I love the onion. I love the onion.
Well, I never. Well, you're not only getting cooking hints and recipes, you're getting a history lesson. So I look forward to hearing that. I'm ready with my marching boots now.
I was going to say, look, there's a couple of pom-poms over there. You can do a bit of, that's what the girls
cheerleading.
Use, cheerleading. But you can march up and down, don't they do it? Marching girls.
Well, they skip batons. And throw their legs in the air. I can't imagine a soldier
can't
doing
you do that.
That.
No, yeah. you could, though, to the marching song. So that, grab your pom-poms. I'll get a baton or two, and off we go. And there we go. I told you it was a goodie.
That was great, actually. I just felt, you know, clapping along to it was really good because it had that sort of beat, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. Yeah, well, it's a marching song.
Yeah,
come on.
That's
it's,
right.
I know, you did jolly well with your pom-poms and throwing your legs in. Well, sort of.
Slightly different than marching in uniform.
I'd better just reassure the viewers that no pom-poms were harmed in the recording of this programme.
No, that was very good. I think the listeners will be very interesting to listen to that story and listen to the music. Very well done, Peter. I commend you.
Pretty highbrow program, this.
Really. It is, yeah, definitely. So we're moving on after that lovely episode of to vegan vanilla cupcakes. Now, these look lovely in the illustration, caught my eye. So that's one of the reasons. And there's a lot of people out there that are vegan. So we're going to start off with 3/4 of a cup of almond milk, 1 teaspoon of apple cider vinegar or lemon juice, 1/2 cup of vegetable oil, 1 teaspoon of vanilla extract, 1 cup of cane sugar. Now I was looking at that cane sugar, it's probably not quite brown sugar and sort of in between raw and brown, but I think, you know, I think I'd be using raw sugar if it was me. But anyway, that's what it says. 1 2/3 of cup of flour, 1 1/2 teaspoons of baking powder, 1/2 teaspoon of baking soda, and 1/4 teaspoon of salt, and 1/3 cup of sprinkles. And that's those lovely little wee, you know, coloured things that you put on top of cupcakes.
Yeah.
Now, the icing, I'll give it to you now, is 220 grams of olivani, 1 teaspoon of vanilla essence, 3 cups of icing sugar, and 1 tablespoon of almond milk. Now, the method here is that you're preheating the oven to 180 degrees Celsius and lining a standard muffin pan with 12 paper liners. Now, you can actually buy liners for these muffin pans, but honestly, I mean, I would get some baking paper if I'm really going to line them and just cut them up to, so they're basically just, you know, sort of covering the bottom in a little bit because they will come out.
Yeah, I think I've tried that before. Just cut a circle and drop in the bottom because
exactly.
You can run a knife around, can't you?
Exactly.
As long as the bottom doesn't stick.
If it doesn't come out, it's because it's stuck to the bottom,
you've got
basically.
A sticky bottom, girl.
Yeah. Yes, well, we can solve that. But anyway, that's what I do. I would get just rip off some baking paper and cut what I needed. Then add the milk and vinegar or lemon juice to a large mixing bowl and let it sit for a few minutes. Add the oil and vanilla and whisk or beat vigorously with a hand mixer to combine. I think you can use either, so it refers to a hand mixer a lot. So if you've got one, maybe it does a better job. Add sugar and whisk or use your hand mixer to beat until combined and sugar has dissolved. Sift the dry ingredients. Don't put the sprinkles in because they won't go through the sifter. So sift the dry ingredients into a medium bowl and mix together. Sift the dry ingredients again, and I'm not repeating myself, I'm asking you to do it again, and, into the wet ingredients and use the hand mixer or a whisk to blend until well incorporated and no large lumps remain. Add the sprinkles and gently fold with a rubber spatula or mixing spoon. Divide the batter evenly among the muffin pan wells, making sure they do not, you're not overfilling them. They do best filled 3/4 of the way up. Bake in the centre of the oven for 20 minutes or until a toothpick inserted in the centre comes out clean. They will have a very, very slight golden brown colour. Let them cool completely on a cooling rack. In the meantime, prepare the icing. Beat Olivani spread until light and creamy, then add the vanilla essence. Beat until well combined. Sift the icing sugar and beat again until well combined. Add the milk and beat again. So you're combining that after each addition. And then you're icing these lovely cooled cupcakes. And then you're just putting the little bit of sprinkles just over the top. And they do look delishimo.
Oh, they do, don't they?
They do.
Yeah.
Very, like very legal for vegans to consume.
Like the sort of things at a kid's party with the sprinkles.
Well, that's
on.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But these ones are vegan. So yes. that's really good. And so we try and include some specialty recipes in our program, don't we, Peter?
Well, I think it's a good idea because there's all sorts of people
out there, as I say,
we're certainly not vegetarians or vegans, but I enjoy a bit of vegetarian
food. So do I.
You know, things, and it's very satisfying to cook something and say, oh, that was jolly nice, and there's no meat in it.
Exactly. Hmm. Well, mostly when I do go out, I always go for a vegetarian option.
Oh, right. Okay.
I just love it because it's probably something sometimes that I don't make myself. So I really do like, you know, perusing the menu to have a look and see what there is in a vegetarian dish.
Yeah, good, good.
But this one here, pumpkin and golden syrup pie. I like pumpkin and I like golden syrup, so a good combination. But I think I did make a pumpkin pie once, and I don't know whether it was the type of pumpkin or whatever, but it didn't really appeal to me so much. But this is a completely different type of recipe. 1 1/3 cups of mashed cooked pumpkin, 2 eggs, 1/2 cup of golden syrup, 1/3 cup of cream, 1 tablespoon of flour, 1/2 teaspoon of ground cinnamon, 1/2 teaspoon of mixed spice, and a generous pinch of salt, and of course whipped cream for serving. Now you can use pastry that you've brought, commercial pastry, if you want to, but this is quite a simple one, and quite often I find that I just whip up my own pastry. So 3/4 cup of plain flour, 1 tablespoon of icing sugar, a pinch of salt, 60 grams of cold butter cut into small cubes, and 2 to 3 tablespoons of iced water. So that's your pastry for when you're ready to put your filling in. So heat the oven to 200 degrees Celsius. Grease a 25 centimeter round pie dish or a tart dish. Pre-cook your pumpkin by boiling or roasting and mashing it well. Now, just a little hint, if you're boiling it, once the pumpkin is tender and before you mash it, I recommend draining it well, then returning to the pan to the heat, so you've still got a little bit of heat from your element left, and leave it on there to evaporate any excess moisture, because you really don't want, you know, pumpkin can create quite a bit of moisture, can't
they're pretty
it?
Soggy, aren't they?
Yeah, soggy. So basically just make sure that you – so roasting it is probably the better idea, because you're not getting the same sort of moisture. Prepare the pastry, and you can do this all in a food processor to make the pastry for speed and efficiency, but you can still, of course, make this by hand, which I would do. But you're placing the flour, sugar, and salt in a food processor and blitz briefly to combine. Add the cubed butter and blend for 1 minute until the butter is cut into the flour, or you can, of course, rub that in by hand. Continue to pulse the machine while adding a tablespoon of water at a time until the dough starts to form small balls. You can see it. It happens. It starts to all come together. And just press with your fingers to check that it holds together and it's not too dry. Tip the dough onto the bench and quickly shape into a disc. Don't overhandle the dough. That's the secret of a lot of this type of thing, is don't overhandle it.
And that's the big advantage of using a processor, because you haven't got your fingers in there, have you?
Yeah, that's right. So, well, I hope not.
Your hot fingers.
And basically, cover and chill for 20 minutes. That's the secret of scones and pastry. The less you handle it, the better it is. Now, roll out the pastry on a lightly floured bench into a large round about 2 centimetres wider than the pie dish. Get some lovely pie dishes. You can get the fluted one. That's lovely, but sometimes it's a bit difficult to get out. So avoid that. I've tried that. Unless you grease it really, really, really well.
I could never find the ideal pie dish. We've got quite a few at home. And like I made the
meat pie. Have you got the enamel ones?
No.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
No. I made the meat pie the other day and I end up scratching my head on which pie dish you like.
To use, yeah. Well, it's good that you've got the choice.
Well.
So lift the pastry into the greased dish, trimming and pressing together as needed. You'll just have to use your imagination as to what size you're going to need. A little overhang is okay. Place the dish into the fridge while making the filling. So it says wipe out the food processor, because if you're going to use that, you can, it's only had the pastry in it, so just give it a bit of a wipe out, but don't be fussy. Add the mashed pumpkin, eggs, golden syrup, cream, flour, spices and salt, and blend until smooth. You can always put this too, Peter, into a bowl and just use your thick blender as well. It'll do the same thing.
Yeah, that's
so,
true. Yeah, of course.
You know,
yeah.
You're not always thinking of, you know, the one that goes on top of, you know, the machine. You can just use your stick blender. Remove the chilled pastry base from the fridge and pour in the pumpkin filling. Bake 10 minutes at 200 degrees Celsius, quite high. Then turn down the heat to 180 and continue to cook for another 20 to 25 minutes until the filling is set and the pastry is golden. When you open your oven slightly, you can see if it's set, and if you've got a tea towel or, you know, an oven glove, just give it a bit of a wobble and see if it's actually, you know, moving. Set the dish on a rack to cool. The pie can be served warm or cold, dusted with icing sugar and whipped cream on the side. So there you are. That's your pumpkin pie. A lot of people don't like doing sweet things with vegetables. Mm. But, you know, like beetroot and cakes and avocado and all that sort of thing.
Yeah, well,
but
it's, why not?
Yeah, exactly. Why not?
And I mean, well, pumpkin pie is just so traditional in the States.
It is.
You know,
it is.
It's not a thing we ever eat much
no.
of. But,
yeah.
Right. Well, that's it. You've used your time allocation up.
Oh, okay.
You don't get paid beyond 30 minutes.
Oh, right. So we've done well this morning, have we?
We've done well. And, yeah. And okay. I tell you what I'm going to do today, because I thought it was such a jolly little tune. I'm going to play the programme out with the Onion Marching Song.
Oh, okay. That's lovely. I think you'll have people sort of like feeling quite gay about that.
Yes, you may well raise your eyes like that. Yes. All right, and Gail, thank you ever so much again. Another good programme. And
good to be here.
See you next week.
You will.
Bye for now.
Bye.
Oh, bunker, 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 oh, bunker,
This program was made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the accessmedia.nz website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.